Welcome to episode 1092 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, February 1st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or at cafepress.com/OhanaStore. Hey, I want to give everyone a warm welcome. I tell you, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. I got a few things to chit-chat to you about that's going to be a little bit fun to talk about. I have a little bit of a mini rant to go into a little bit later, but that will be just that. We'll get to it a little bit later in the show, but lots to share. I want to give them a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And if you're brand new to the show, picked a great day to come and check the show out. It's always a great time to check this show out, but I want you to visit geeknewscentral.com, get over to the website, sign up for the show by subscribing to it via iTunes or on your Android device with one of the many podcast apps that support one-click subscribe on Android to find those links in the right-hand column of the website. Of course, you can get connected via email. You can get to do it old school and get a link to the show via email every time we post a new episode. You can also just connect via standard RSS feed. There's other subscription options as well, so that way you'll never miss a single episode. I do release both an audio and video portion of this. If you'd prefer the video portion, you just go down a little bit further on the page, and there's links for the video, links to the show, as well as links to the newsletter. And, of course, I want you to pay close attention to the website right now. The writing team is at it full blast, and they were started this weekend just cranking stuff out. So we've got lots of new interviews from the Consumer Electronics Show. Lots more to come from, I mean, tons more to come. So if you're subscribed to the special media feed, keep refreshing, because I think we're putting out like close to 10 a day. So, you know, some of the latest articles up was the interview with the SureCall, the boosting your phone signal, M-Juice. This is kind of an interesting product. It's a case that actually helps your smartphone boost its signal strength. We got UniKey Power. It's a product from the UK that's in the United States, some technology. We've got some articles, or actually an interview from Griffin on their new break safe magnetic USB-C power cable. This is pretty cool. So if you've got a new MacBook, you'll know that the new MacBooks do not come. You know, it's got that USB-C power cable, but you can really easily bust that thing. So the folks at Griffin made an adapter, so you can use your MagSafe chargers with this. Got an interview from one of the IBM social media folks. Just, it goes on and on and on. Atelia, the Panacast 4K webcam. Daniel did an interview on that. Conceptor. It goes on and on. Lots of cool stuff here for you to watch and review. We want you to get caught up because, I mean, there's lots of cool stuff you're going to want to spend money on. And if you're not on the website every day, or if you're not subscribed to the special media feed, you're going to miss this just tons of cool stuff that we covered on the floor and live when we were at a broadcast studio at CES. So I think we've got about 50 pushed out. We have about 250 to go. So it's going to be a lot of content. So definitely stay close. And, of course, some of the stuff is coming out on TPN.TV as well. But everything will definitely be cross-posted and original articles written up on Geek News Central from our team. So be aware of of that. So I want to thank the writing team for really being busy here. Along with that, I don't want to forget to talk about our partners. We got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. We've got Health Take Weekly with Jamie Davis. We got The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. The Elder Vide with Todd Ani, and of course, the Pro Gear site at ProGear.Guru. Lots of stuff to view on our family of sites. There's content there that really you just going to overwhelm you, quite honestly. There's so much stuff. So a great team. But If you got comments on today's show, you can email me directly. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to do that. If you want to follow me on Twitter, @GeekNews, you can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook. Just search for Todd Cochran. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on the Apple TV. Just subscribe to Geek News Central video feed. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. You can listen on Stitcher on Blueberry.com. So lots of places to catch the show here. Of course, this show, sponsored, longtime sponsor by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. So you want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And if you get over to GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy, all of the promo codes are there. Everything that you need to get online and get started really building your own digital footprint is there. You can get $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain. You can get or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting, again, for the first year with a free domain. Your business owner, you can revamp your website, your business website, with their website builder product. That includes a free domain and Microsoft Outlook email address, all for $1 a month. Or $12, you get up and running on any one of those hosting services. If that doesn't pack enough power for you, you can get a dedicated server, a virtual dedicated server, 30% off using my 30% off code. And if you just need a domain, pick up a 99cent.com. All those coupon codes are available at geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy. They all start with CJC and then end with GNC30, GNC99, GNCGOT, GNC1HS, GNCWP1. You don't have to remember the code. Just come to the website, click on it, and make sure that when you're at checkout that you've got the offer that you've clicked through on, and save a lot of cash. We definitely appreciate GoDaddy being a longtime sponsor here of the show. We want you to continue to use the code, share them, link to that website page. It's most appreciated when you do. If you hear anyone talk about hosting, the next thing out of your lips, please visit geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy. Get a code, save some money, make a friend. And remember, if you ever buy anything from GoDaddy and you ever have a situation come up where you don't get satisfactory customer service and you've used one of my codes, I want you to reach out to me because I have people in special places over there that can help in situations where customer service has went awry. Now, luckily, I haven't had to evoke that recently, but if you ever run into an issue, please let us know. Please let me know at geeknews@gmail.com. Send me your customer number and any information that I would need, and we'll send it to the top of the food chain and make sure you get satisfaction guaranteed, I guess, for a better word to say it. So anyway, we got lots to share tonight. And I've been doing an interesting experiment here over the past 3, 4, 5 shows. Been running the show on live stream, on YouTube Live, on Blab. And I will have to say that Blab, and even though it's late for most people are, if they haven't went to bed yet, they're on their way to bed. In the continental, lower 48. Blab is an interesting platform. When Rob and I do our new media show on Saturdays, we've had as many as, I think, 60 or 70 people in the chat room. It's really turning out to be a pretty good platform from a social standpoint. The only thing bad about it is it's limited. I can't give you the full image. It's like it's kind of like a half of a 16:9. But for those of you that are watching on YouTube Live, you guys get the full picture. And, of course, if any of you on Blab want to watch the full screen version of the show, you just go to live.geeknewscentral.com, and we've got the YouTube embed there with the live stream. But there's always there's a chat room over there, too. I was trying to get that launched. I forgot to load that page earlier. And so I'm reaching over here now and very gently having two browsers on one screen. So let me see if I can get that adjusted. All right, I'm good. So I think Dale's there. Hey, Dale, thanks for joining the chat room on live.geekandcentral.com. And we got some people in the chat room as well. A few people. I don't know, I think maybe only one in Blab right now. So not a big crowd tonight, but that's okay. let me look at my list here before we get into the stack. I got something I really got a bone tonight to pick over some stuff I saw on YouTube. But before I get into that, still working on a replacement for Live365, Live365.com. Pulled the plug yesterday. If you go to their website now, it's just it goes to the VeriSign site. There is nothing associated with it. When they pulled the plug, they pulled the plug. So still working a replacement. We've got a deal in work. Should have an announcement in the next couple of weeks if we can work out the legalities of it. But we'll be able to get podcasters another avenue to do their shows and have some, the ability to get distributed into some of these streaming platforms as well, so that there's additional ways to gain exposure. And no matter where you're listening to this show, the main thing to remember is that the home of record for Geek News Central is at geeknewscentral.com, and that's where we want you to come to get subscribed and everything else. Doesn't matter where you're listening, on what device, what platform. Really, it's all about coming home to mama, as I call it, and coming home to the home brand and getting connected this way. That's where the family is, and it's where we want you all to be. All right, so I'm going to start out tonight, and I'll get into my, I guess, soapbox piece in a few minutes here. But I got a little bit of a lead up and some fun stuff to talk about at the very beginning of the show. I was entertained tonight while I was getting the show ready, because I found this article that had been posted on Gizmodo or someone. Yeah, it was over on Gizmodo. And they linked to this guy who built a bot. And really, it's a very interesting bot. This guy was involved in the telemarketing space for, I guess, a number of years. He's a coder as well. So he took a Raspberry Pi and basically made a design to answer his telephone whenever it detected, and I don't know exactly how he's done this, but when it detects a robot caller, it's able to answer the phone, say hello to the robot caller a couple of times, like hello, hello, which then triggers the telemarketer come online and trying to sell you something. You're going to love this. And there's a way you can participate too. He's probably going to get so much traffic, he's probably going to kill his website. So if his website goes down, definitely check it out in a couple of days. And he's made the code available for those of you that have a Raspberry Pi and want to implement this on your own phone. But if you go over to JollyRogerTelephone.com, and play a few of these videos, you're absolutely going to love this. It's basically the robot talks to telemarketer. And after you listen to two or three of these videos, or two or three of these audios that he's posted up, you are going to appreciate very much what this guy has done. The longest time he kept a telemarketer on the line is about 8 minutes with this robot. So he answers the phone, robot calls with a robot, makes the robot wake up and get a telemarketer on, and the telemarketer gets on, and then the robot starts talking to him. And he did it really slick. And in the 9 or 10 examples he has on his blog, only one individual really figured it out pretty quick, and he was actually complimenting his robot. But if you listen to it, you're gonna love it. So again, JollyRogerTelephone.com. Have 20 minutes to waste, because you're gonna spend it over there listening to some of these, and I hope that you get as much entertainment out of it as I did. But definitely find of the day, and there is a way to forward telemarketers. So here's the pretense. You get the telemarketer on the phone and says, can I speak to, so-and-so? Oh, just wait a minute. I'll get him. And then you call forward your phone, or you add a person to the phone, and then you dial the number, and you have to dial through, and then you kind of like, you talk to it to get it, it kind of activates. Okay, here you go. And you merge the call. And then you can hand off the telemarketer to this robot. I cannot wait. because here in Hawaii, I get calls from all these organizations that want me to donate cars and all this stuff. And I keep telling them, take me off your list, take me off your list. I'm not on the do not call list, but they refuse. But they usually, they call about this time in the evening. And so, you know, I've gotten to a point where I just talk off. You know, that's what I do with the phone. I just, you know, answer it and then hang up on them. No. I'm next go around. They're going to get forwarded to the Jolly Roger Telephone Company. And I cannot wait to do it and then mute my phone and listen in and see how long that they listen in. You know, the RIAA, you know, we've had a long history talking about the RIAA on this show. And, you know, we've never had a lot of positive things to say. But the RIAA has apparently seen the light. The RIAA says that streams will now count toward gold and platinum record certifications. Now, how they're going to do this is an interesting move. The RIAA has been bestowing albums with gold and platinum labels since 1958. Up until now, only album sales counted towards gold and platinum certification despite recent mergers and proliferation of streaming services. An artist needed to sell 500,000 copies of a single record for it to reach a gold benchmark and 1 million to go platinum. But this doesn't mean a single stream will now carry the same weight. Instead, the RIAA says 1,500 song or video streams will be equivalent to 10 track sales or 1 album sales. Now, the sad part is the artist's no way is going to make the same amount of money royalty-wise. So they're going to say, oh, this is a double platinum. But all, you know, someone can game this now. You know, some streaming service can put, you know, some song on and just let it repeat continuously. But this is an interesting move by the RIAA. There will not be an association with earnings now tied to, you know, if an album went gold or platinum or whatever, those will be completely diverged now. And so it is going to be fun to watch and see how they do this. But the RIAA is basically, I guess, finally decided to call uncle here. Earnings retort today by Alphabet, the holding company for Google. I put ABC in the show notes. But Alphabet has passed Apple in total value. This happened today after their earnings call. So Alphabet is now the most valuable company in all the land, being worth $553 billion compared to $538 billion of Apple. The obvious breadwinner is Google, as emphasized when Alphabet separated Google from its more money-dependent big idea companies. So congratulations to Google here. I'm sure they'll swap back and forth as stock prices move around. During the earnings call, Gmail is now has more than 1 billion active users. So I wonder how many how many have more than one Gmail account? How many have more than 2, 3, 4? You still have your hand up? I know that I have a few burner accounts too. So I wonder what they consider an active user. Does that mean someone that's logged in Gmail in the last 90 days or something like that? But 1 billion active users are using Gmail today, which is, if you think about it, pretty remarkable number. I wonder how many of those folks used to be Outlook or Thunderbird users. I'm sure many, many, many were. You know, I'm still, today I use Thunderbird to do most of my backups. I've migrated mostly to web-based email at this point, except when I'm trying to organize email into different tags and so forth. It's just easier to do it in Thunderbird and move stuff around in bulk than it is to do it in Gmail. It just seems to work better having it in folders and so forth. But that's the only time I really kind of revert back to the desktop app. We know that when Google or Alphabet formed, they put all the, you know, 15 or 16, there was a total, what was it, maybe 19 companies they put underneath the umbrella of Alphabet. And these are all, you know, different divisions and different product lines. You know, YouTube is one of them. Google's another. So, you know, they broke them out. But it appears that their projects that they're doing underneath Alphabet is costing them quite a bit of money. Sales from the moonshots, which Alphabet calls our bets, are up 37% in the last year to $448 million. But check this out. But losses from those experimental projects, minus stock-based compensation, nearly doubled to $3.07 billion in the 12 months ending December 31st. So that's a lot of money spent on experiments. But considering how much they've made this quarter, it's just kind of like a drop in the bucket. But the company added another 8,200 employees to its workforce, bringing the total to 61,000. That's up 61,814. That's up 15% from last year. And they're getting pretty ambitious there, adding a lot of people. That's huge in its lifespan here and what they're trying to do. But they've got trouble in at least one of their divisions. And this is when I want to talk about YouTube a little bit. And if you're a YouTuber, I hope you listen to this and take it the right way. And if you're not a YouTuber and you're a podcaster, you thank your lucky stars. So many of these YouTubers have subscriber totals that rival the biggest podcast in the space. On Thursday, followers of Channel Awesome, which has 370,456 subscribers, got a strange new message. Now, the channel usually specializes in pop culture riffs, but this was more of a straightforward video. And what it was host Douglas Walker literally freaking the heck out. He learned, about YouTube's DMCA process, and in a bad way. Now, he has had a couple of DMCA. Now, they do reviews of videos and cartoons and a variety of different stuff. And so they got a notice that they had a problem with one of the videos, had been flagged. And they said, okay, well, we know what the deal is when that happens. But when they went to log into the YouTube account, it was severely restricted. I mean, like locked down to like someone that is a noob at YouTube. And they basically shut off all monetization. They weren't allowed to upload videos longer than 15 minutes. Even though the content that was flagged was quote unquote fair use, the YouTube automated system basically shut them down. And he had appealed the complaint, and it basically went on for like 3 weeks of notices and counter notices. And you can tell, and I encourage those of you that are content creators or those of you that are contemplating being a YouTuber, when you are on someone, and this is where my rant starts, when you are on someone else's property, they can do whatever they want to you. When you're in someone else's house, they can open the door and kick you out. In a New York second, they can kick you to the curb and say, so sorry, you violated one of our rules. We don't care you got 370,456 subscribers. Get out. One thing that appealed to me in October of 2004, when I started this show, I had known firsthand from being on bulletin boards back in the past that if you pissed off a system operator back in the days, this was before, this was dial-up, those of you that remember this, if you got on the wrong side of that system operator, he kicked you off his system, locked you out, made it so you couldn't get into his system. And because there was very limited bulletin boards during the day, Sysops were gods. They were kings. And there was people that I kicked off my bulletin board that begged me to let them back on, to that they would behave. And sometimes I would, and sometimes I wouldn't. Sometimes people did death threats against me. It was because this was people's social activities. This is where they did a lot of social interactions. Didn't make very much money with the bulletin board. Matter of fact, lucky if we broke even in all the years running it. Had a great time doing it. But I knew from that experience, when I launched Geek News Central as a blog, I knew that there was no way. And people ask me oftentimes, Todd, why are you so anal about controlling your intellectual property? Why are you so anal about building your own brand? Talked about at the beginning of the show. I don't care where you listen or hear this show. You come back to Geek News Central, that's home. Now, if geeknewscentral.com ever went down, it's my fault. Not doing a right backup, not maintaining security, whatever it may be, it's on me, right? And I suffer the ramifications of incorrect administration of my system. Now, God forbid that would ever happen. And that, to me, just it breaks me out in cold sweat thinking about it. But these YouTubers have no control. They're there as a guest of YouTube. They have to follow their rules. We're live streaming right now on YouTube. I have to follow YouTube's rules, or they bounce me out. That's why there's times I want to play a video on this show and simulcast it at the same time and talk about it. Can't do it because they have become so insanely protective of any, that, you know, because what's happened is some chucklehead has put up a copyrighted video or, something that is clearly violating and caused YouTube all kinds of griefs and lawsuits. So this automated system, and it's gotten so automated because YouTube's gotten so big, even this guy's got 370,456 subscribers, it locked him out for 3 weeks. He had to go on YouTube and rant, bitch, complain for about 10 minutes in order to get someone's attention at YouTube. My suggestion to these folks that have these YouTube channels, maybe it's time to grow up and build your own brand. Build your own .com. Have a site where people can go to that's yours. Monetize your content. You know, you get that kind of an audience, you can make a lot more money as an independent content creator that's not relying on Google sales team. 370,456 subscribers. That's huge, huge cash with the right sponsor backing. And at probably a much higher CPM. I'll be honest. I'm just like tough. Tough luck. You've allowed yourself to be controlled by the man here. You call yourself an independent content creator. Build your brand. Get the heck off YouTube. And you use YouTube as a distribution vehicle. Continue to use it and try to stay within their rules. But build your brand outside of YouTube. Get an audience to find you at your .com first. Sure, is it going to take a while? Absolutely. Is it as easy? No. You got to spend some money? Absolutely you are. But at the same time, when you see this video, please, I know what he's thinking. How am I going to make payroll? How am I going to feed my family? All those questions. I could see it in his eyes and see it in his voice. And I think if you're a content creator and you rely on, if your website is anywhere but your own .com, you're a damn fool. Because you're beholden to the rules and to the viability of the platform that you're on. And you may be good for many years. And then all of a sudden something happens, change in priorities, changing rules, you name it. And the next thing you know, you're out of business. So, you know, and I'm sure if some of these hardcore YouTubers listen to this, they will golf at me and, you know, flip me the hand or whatever, throw me the bird. But if I had 370,456 subscribers on YouTube, I would be doing everything I could to get them off YouTube to my website where I could control the what was happening, what was being put into the media, not be constrained by rules of YouTube. YouTube can shut me down any day. But I have a plan. I'm on live stream right now. We're on Blab. Lots of options. I could fire up the old Amazon streaming server. We could run that. I'm not worried about streaming the show. That's the last thing in my worries. Until they pull the plug, I'm good. So I know I've ranted here for a while, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to talk more about this end of the week with Rob on the New Media Show. We'll be talking about this a bit, but I'm sorry. I feel bad for you, but at the same time, you know, build your own brand. Move on. Okay. Thank you for letting me rant for a long time. For a long time here. Okay. I got to check something here. Make sure I didn't be dumb tonight. I'm sure I didn't. No, I'm good. I forgot to hit one of the recording streams, but we've got both video and audio being recorded, so I'm good. Hey, Dutch police training, the Dutch are training eagles to neutralize drones. And I have to say, this is pretty cool. So I guess if they want to use birds to take out these little drones, is a way to do it. But it seems to be pretty dangerous for the birds, striking a drone with those those spinning propellers. And of course, eagles are this, and they would never do this in America, but they are doing this in the Netherlands. So I have a video here of a demonstration of a drone being taken out by an eagle. Oh, one more little small rant on YouTube. Apparently, there's two guys called the Fine Brothers, and they have a bunch of reaction videos, and it's where they scare people and do different things. They're trying to trademark the word react. Hasn't went so well for them on that note. Why are people allowed to even think about trademarking verbs? come on. You're not gonna allow people to say react in a video title? They're trying to capture that? That's very hard to do. Canon camera had reactionary type videos back in the day. Just don't think you can trademark the word react. All right, for all the geeks out there and everyone that's worried about security. So the NSA's chief hacker explains how to keep him out of your system. And I'm going to let you folks do your own read on this. But, it's pretty obvious by the way this guy is pretty confident in his discussions that I think the only way that you're going to keep anybody out of your internet-connected system is to just turn the computer off and disconnect it from the internet. That's the way it appears in this article. But one thing's for sure is that the new way in to attack networks is not necessarily through computer-connected devices. It's more of the associated devices like your connected refrigerator or the connected Barbie doll or the IP camera that you have. Those types of ways into your network are probably going to be the new attack vectors. And one thing I found also very interesting here was he said that whenever a vulnerability is published, you patch it immediately. He said it doesn't even matter how small of a vulnerability it is. He says that state-sponsored hackers will be on that instantly, and it'll be a sweet spot that they'll go after in a big, big way in a hurry. So if you're that guy, if you're the IT guy at your group, and you're only doing security updates weekly, maybe you ought to change that thought process to going to basically daily, you know, twice a day, three times a day looking for security updates. He also said in his discussion here that if you open up a port for someone to come into your system to do maintenance over a weekend or, you know, 12 or 14 hours, he says that's long enough for any state-sponsored hacker. If he's trying to get into your system, they will find that hole while you've opened that up for a third party to log in. But zero-day exploits, again, seem to be the most popular way to bust into networks when they're really trying to get in and go after someone. But I'll let you read this article, but it's pretty eye-opening. And I don't think there's really anything anyone can do. If someone wants to get in your system bad enough, I think they're going to, based upon kind of the conversation that happened in this article. And this is an article that's over on Wired. It has direct quotes from this guy. But the link could be up in the show notes for all you IT types out there that want to check it out. Hey, the iPad Air 3, apparently going to be a little bit smaller than the iPad Pro. So this is an interesting move here. I saw an iPad Pro in Vegas being used with a 360 camera, perfect use for the iPad Pro. But that sucker is so big, I'll be honest with you. I don't see a personal use. I thought maybe I could justify it somehow. I just don't see how I can ever justify an iPad Pro. I'd love to have one. They're just absolutely gorgeous. But with a little smaller iPad Pro, something in between, I might be, you know, thinking about picking one up. So anyway, we'll see what happens in February when they make the announcements, or this later this month. There's a good science article talking about the sun's magnetic field, and they've got a pretty cool visualization of magnetic fields, all computer generated. Very, very cool stuff. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. I know many of you spend a lot of time on Facebook, going through the news section, updating and scrolling, looking for new stuff people have posted. But apparently Facebook's been working on that a lot. And Google's saying the goal of Newsfeed is to show you the stories that matter the most to you. Well, I oftentimes will get stuff I see, I'll say, especially a lot of this political crap that's in there now, a lot of hate. And I'll just say, see less of this, see less of this. You do that enough, you start seeing less political stuff, which for me is really good, because it just does nothing but, you know, it raises your blood pressure unnecessarily. And so they're trying to make the news feed better. So we will see if they actually do that. And that reminds me, I'll put a link tonight. I want you guys all to go over to Facebook and like the Geek News Central page. I'm going to start doing a little bit of a push for that over here over the next couple of weeks. So tonight in the show notes will be a link to the Geek News Central Facebook page. If you haven't done it already, throw it a like. We'll start putting more stuff up there. Google is saying that they want more control over the Nexus smartphones. You know, Google has partnered up with folks in the past, and they basically have given the hardware manufacturers a lot of leeway and let their talent shine through in design. But it supposedly, Google is pushing for more control over Nexus phones, to the point where it would effectively reduce partners to contractors. And the folks in Mountain View would design the hardware and software. Vendors would just make sure that those devices become reality. Think of it as products like the Pixel C. So, Pixel C is a beautiful piece of machinery. As a matter of fact, we've got an article about someone that gave a Pixel C to his mother, And after having used a MacBook for many years, and it was the best decision he ever made. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But the World Health Organization today has announced that the Zika virus, which we talked a little bit on the last show, has been declared an international health emergency. So if you live in any region that is being affected by these potentially infected mosquitoes, please be careful. This has serious ramifications for a lot of the southern states in the United States. Of course, anyone that's in Mexico, Central America, Northern South America as well, are actually the upper half of South America. So it's a huge area. But they're really, really worried. And it's largely because of the damage it can be done to unborn children and the birth defects. So, again, we talked about it in the last show, but let you know the WHO is getting more concerned about this. Hey, if you've got a, if you're a customer of Dish, Dish has a 4K ready Hopper 3 DVR. So this is pretty big. So, you know, although the Hopper 3 was supposed to arrive in the end of January, Dish isn't too late in its promise here. The company's third generation DVR, which again supports 4K and up to 6 receivers simultaneously, is now available to subscribers. So this is cool. This is really, really cool. And so get that upgrade. I don't know what it's going to cost you. I'm not a Dish customer, so just be aware that it's available. Hey, the FCC, and I don't know what you think about this, but Verizon has gotten permission by the FCC to do LTE over Wi-Fi. So, yes, the Wi-Fi that we use in our homes, Verizon's gotten permission to work with Qualcomm to do a test in a specific area to prove that they're not going to infringe and override and make Wi-Fi not work well in our homes or in the public. We know that opponents of this include Google and various cable companies. Meanwhile, we know that Verizon's been leading the charge here, but the FCC gave them the ability to use LTE TACU, again, unlicensed. So what it is these mobile companies are desperate for more frequency spectrum, and they just are not able to get it. So now they're going to push and infringe into what we all use for Wi-Fi, you know, Wi-Fi frequencies in our homes. It starts affecting my home Wi-Fi, then we're going to have a problem. We really, really are. All right, WhatsApp. I don't use WhatsApp. I'm sure many of you do. But the WhatsApp passed 1 billion monthly active users. So if you're a user of WhatsApp, just your community is growing. I have to say that sometimes the simplest things are you almost like slap your head on like, why haven't we been doing this? Well, in Ohio State University, of course, I'm not a Buckeye fan, so any of you Buckeye fans out there, sorry, go Spartans. So what if windmills look more like trees? Apparently, a team of engineers at Ohio State University is looking for answers to that question with basically building structures that kind of resemble trees, but actually create energy when they move in the breeze. So the vibrations is converted into electricity. So I thought, that's pretty smart. How disguised can the trees really look? Not only that, they're looking at ways to harness building vibrations, bridge suspensions, so that as you know, as a car drives onto a bridge and the suspension takes impact, there's a lot of kinetic energy that is transferred there. And, you know, that motion today is, you know, not being utilized to create any type of energy. But they say if they can improve the science, that they're going to be able to recover energy and be used to power sensors that keep tabs on the structural integrity of bridges and a variety of lighting, that type of stuff. So I thought that's pretty smart, using all this kinetic energy that we're using, you know, to, as we're driving our vehicles across and trucks and so forth, to be able to capture that kinetic energy and store it seems like something that I don't understand why we haven't been doing it up to this point. Okay, so this coming Sunday, of course, is the big game. We can't say the other word because we can be accused of a copyright violation. So the big game is on for this weekend, and the 50th big game. If you're not a football fan and you want to watch something else, well, on Netflix, Better Call Saul. I can't wait to see this particular series, and I guess it's already available. So I'm going to check that out. If you want to relive the O.J. Simpson era, there's FX is presenting a show about O.J. Simpson trial, and ABC has a two-night event focusing on Bernie Madoff. So I guess that one there, what, they're going to show this guy stealing money and then sending him to jail? I'm not sure, but... So there's lots of stuff coming on digitally that's available for you to watch this weekend versus prepping for the Super Bowl. We watched the Pro Bowl here. I kind of really watched the first quarter, then kind of did some work and watched a play and did some work and watched a touchdown. And, you know, my kids, we don't watch a lot of football here, so it's a Hawaii event this year. And so, you know, cook some wings and, you know, it's kind of a, you know, a little family thing. And my wife doesn't understand football at all. So explaining, you know, her the penalties and all this stuff gets a little old. But, and it is a way for my son to, you know, get an eyeball on all these folks that are, you know, all these superstars that are playing in the NFL. So we didn't actually go to the actual game. We just watched it here at the house, just like the rest of the nation did. But I always laugh about the Pro Bowl because, you know, I saw like one hard tackle. The rest of the time they're kind of just like touching the guy, and it's like, okay, you're down. You can't go any further. Whereas if it had been a normal, you know, regular season game, they'd have touched him and like blew through him, right? There wouldn't have been any of this, just, you know, touching the guy would have had to have been tackled. And I know that they don't want the athletes to get hurt, but I wish they would just kind of play a little harder, just mix it up a little bit. But it was a fun game to watch from a touchdown standpoint. A lot of nice passes and so forth. That was a Sunday afternoon here. This one's going to make you all kind of chuckle, maybe not. And the title of the article from Torrent Frink is Homeless People Lose Internet Access Over Illegal Downloads. People living in an encampment for the homeless in Florida have found themselves without internet access following claims of illegal downloading. No, don't say. The operators of Dignity Village say that after several complaints from the ISP about piracy, they had no choice but stop providing free Wi-Fi to all. So these folks were able to apply for jobs, stay in touch with the outside world, you know, get services. Well, a lot of the folks were just going out and BitTorrenting videos and music, and so their internet service got flagged, and so they lost their internet. So they had notified everyone, please don't do this. We'll end up losing the service. Well, they kept on doing it, and apparently the fees that they could have been charged were getting to the point being very dangerous. You know, it could have put them out of business. You know, they were on the hook for like $150,000 in statutory damages and so forth. So that's the thing about public Wi-Fi. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at, if you don't have some sort of constraints. And what this guy should have really done is he should have blocked some of this activity. And he probably could have basically limited some of the pain points here. I don't understand why they didn't. Why they didn't come in and have someone set something up to basically, you know, make it so that they couldn't use BitTorrent and, you know, stop some of this activity and block some of those sites. That's how they could have solved this. But I guess they chose not to go that route. Maybe they just didn't know they could. Who knows? Any of you were using copy.com? So this near unlimited cloud storage service, copy.com, well, they shouldn't have been giving away so much stuff. So they have, they're going out of business. May 1st is the last day you got media on there. You're going to have to get it off. All right. So just be aware of that, okay? If you're using copy.com, services going kaput. Interesting article over on Ars Technica talking about the feds, specifically talking about helping to fund Elon Musk Hyperloop. We know that they're building a mini Hyperloop in and around the SpaceX, I think in Texas, or was it California? But they're building a mock-up for the participants of an event that happened over the weekend at Texas A&M. They had about 150 teams that are basically building projects for the Hyperloop project. Talks about mock-ups for people, vehicles, and a variety of different things. So there was 100 teams of student engineers spent fall and winter months designing pods to run inside the Hyperloop and a variety of other different things. So the SpaceX team and a bunch of engineers were down there and judged all this recently. You have to absolutely love what Elon Musk has done here, because these young men and women who are all working on their engineering degrees, or maybe, and it could be mechanical, could be electrical, it's giving them an opportunity to really think big and go outside the box. And, you know, we have to have more of this in our universities. You got to have, because, you know, my son comes home, I talk to him about what's going on in his computer science class, and I hear some of the things that he's being taught, and I don't say anything, but I kind of cringe internally, because I'm thinking, man, that's like 5 years ago. That they need to be doing this instead of teaching that. And I know they have systems and curriculum, but we have to give these young big brains the opportunity to build big things. And I'm just so impressed with some of the stuff that Elon Musk is doing and his team. So exciting. They're picking 10 of these teams to come out and do testing. So if you've got any folks that, any kids at Texas A&M and they're in engineering department, please let me know. We have a big contingent of Texas listeners on this show. And I know many of you have, our alumni or out at College Station. So give me a shout out. If anybody went to this that was in this audience, I'd love to hear more. But very, very, very cool stuff here. So in the Blab chat room, E-Boy, who's come in, and thanks for joining the Blab tonight. I agree. You know, kids are learning a lot on Minecraft. I know my son's building a lot of stuff in Minecraft. And I see some of the stuff he's done, and I'm kind of like, you built that? And, of course, it's digitally, but still, it lets them, you know, let them think outside the box. Imagination has no limits in Minecraft. How many of your photogs? How many of you would like to be like an army photographer? Well, maybe you can't be an army photographer, but maybe you can pack up some of the same type of gear that army photogs take on their shoots. There's a good list over on Lifehacker. One army photog basically broke down his kit. I always love seeing people's kits. I spent some time this weekend looking at video rigs, and specifically what I'm doing is I'm going to downsize the package that I use to go to conventions to do one-on-one interviews. So I'm coming up with a whole new, I guess for a better word, stack, and the ability to, carbon fiber tripod and being able to have my rig set up so I can securely put on all my stuff, my lights, my wireless, have everything wired so that nothing's going to fall off, and I can, you know, bang this thing around for 4 or 5 days and do my interviews and not worry about it tipping over. So I've been looking at rigs and writing down ideas, and we'll probably execute a buy plan here in the next couple of weeks. But it's always good to, you know, every time I see someone's rig and I see that they're doing something different, and for those of you that, okay, what the heck am I talking about, rig? Well, you put a camera on a tripod. That is not always everything you need. Sometimes you need a big light bar. Sometimes you need a wireless module. Sometimes you need an extra battery. Sometimes you're streaming live, so you got a module that mounts for the live stream. There's all kinds of stuff you have to hang in order to hang it properly. And for a better word, make it look cool and not look like total nerd city. You have to kind of like plan how you're going to build your rig. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm planning how I'm going to build my rig and bring you guys some cool content from NAB, from the floor, and be a one-man wrecking crew going out and doing interviews and talking with companies and so forth. So a new challenge for me, and be able to go back to the hotel and hang out at the pool when I want to. All right. How many of you have got a Chromebook? You know, I've got a Chromebook here. We haven't used it in a while. My son was using it for about a year, and now he's got his own PC. Of course, he needs a little bit heavier lifting machine. He's in computer science program. But this Chromebook Pixel is a pretty powerful Chromebook. And there's a good story over on The Verge and how a guy replaced his mom's MacBook with a Chromebook, specifically the Pixel. And really what he did it for and why he picked the Chromebook over the MacBook was support. And, you know, many of us have parents that need a little extra help here and there on their hardware. Well, the Chromebook was kind of like the best thing for him to do for his mom and her use cases. And she was a little hesitant at first, but apparently everything is going gangbusters. So if you're thinking about putting a parent or someone on a Chromebook, definitely read this article. This might give you some insight into, will that really work? And maybe it will. Over on TechDirt, Department of Homeland Security official thinks people should have to give up their anonymity to use the internet. Of course, he didn't dare talk about this here in the United States. He went to Paris and made a speech over there at a conference talking about how we need to give up our anonymity. So this gentleman by the name of Eric Barnett, he's the Department of Homeland Security attaché to the European Union. He basically said, jumped straight to terrorism. How much of the potential jihadist data should intelligence agencies or law enforcement be able to examine to protect citizenry from terrorist attacks? He posed. The answer, of course, he said, is everything. Then the pitch. As the use of technology by human beings grows and we look at ethical and philosophical questions surrounding ownership of data and privacy interests, we must start to ask how much of the user's data is fair game for law enforcement to protect children from sexual abuse. So he goes from talking about jihadists to pedophiles. Okay, so we all can agree that pedophiles should be locked up for a long time, the key thrown away, and that jihadists need to go probably find their 99 virgins or whatever their philosophy is. But he uses this analogy: when a person drives on a car on a highway, he or she agrees to display a license plate. That license plate identifies the license plate identifiers are ignored most of the time by law enforcement, unless the car is involved in a legal infraction or otherwise becomes a matter of public interest. Similarly, should not every individual be required to display a license plate on the digital superhighway? In other words, he doesn't want anything to be encrypted. Now, there's this thing in their U.S. Constitution called the Fourth Amendment. And we know that a lowered expectation of privacy is in play when we operate a vehicle on the public roads. However, the Fourth Amendment affords a great deal of privacy to the interior people's homes. Because the government, in most cases, does not provide the internet access, it has no basis to demand ongoing access to citizens' internet activities. Now, it may acquire information with a court order using, again, a warrant or subpoena during the course of an investigation. But I don't think we are at a point where we should be allowing the government to just unilaterally demand access to everything that we say or do on the internet without some sort of legal piece of paper saying, I need to see your stuff. So every time the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and everyone else gets out, and you know, they hate encryption. So, and we understand that there is bad guys out there doing bad things with encryption. We understand that there are bad pedophiles out there doing stuff with encryption. But is that, are we willing to give up? And we've talked about this many, many times on this show. Are we willing to give up our Fourth Amendment rights in order to let law enforcement have an easier ability to catch these people? I don't know. It's a question that has to be answered. I just love, switching gears here, I love folks that to come up with unique solutions. And this solution was by an angry Comcast customer. And once again, Raspberry Pi to the rescue. He set up an auto tweet that basically displayed speed test results anytime his speed dropped below 50 megs per second. Now, he has a 150 meg connection. So anytime it dropped below 50 megs, he's basically sent a tweet out that says, "Hey, at Comcast, why is my internet speed 2 megs down, 9 up, when I pay for 150 down, 10 up in Washington, D.C.?" And then he goes, at Comcast Carriers, Xfinity, pound Comcast, pound speed test. So basically, he has his Raspberry Pi do a speed test every hour. And if it gets below the speed that he's paying for, he posts it on the internet. I think every one of us should have one of those. I really do. Shame them into keeping their speed up. Probably too many of us do it. They just put us all on ignore. Hey, Windows 10 has overtaken XP, and 8.1 still lags behind Windows 7 in market share. So finally, Windows 10 gets past Windows XP. So it grabbed a global market share of 11.85%, up from 9.96% in December. At the same time, XP usage actually inched up about half a point to 11.4, while Windows 8.1 cut of the market remains at a flat 10.4. So amazing the number of people that are still using Windows XP. Just blows me away. Are you a Samsung Galaxy fan? Are you going to upgrade to the S7? I have some Galaxy S6s for sale, or is it S3? I have two of them for sale. One brand new, one that's been a factory refurb. So if you want to pick them up, I think they're 64 gigs each. I think I have a gold one and a black one. Let me know. I got two of them for sale. I'll have them on the next show. I'll show them to you guys. I'm going to put them on Craigslist, but I'll let you guys get a shot at them first. But again, one of them's brand new. We had a factory replacement. It was a brand new out of the box, and I shouldn't say factory placement. One was a factory repair placement, and one was brand spanking new. So anyway, Samsung Galaxy, email me if you're interested in the mobile phones, geeknews@gmail.com. Make me an offer I can't refuse, and they're yours. So here's the new S7, supposedly. We will know shortly here. Rounded edges. I'm sure it's going to have a beautiful screen. Very interesting. So we'll see what happens here with the Galaxy S7 Edge and the Galaxy S7 coming directly. NASA has got a cool video. Take viewers on a flight over a dwarf planet Ceres. So the link will be up in the show notes on that. I am like going to be so long tonight. I have more stuff to get through than I can even get through in the remaining time. So I'm going to have to skip a few things tonight to get us out of here on time. But there's a study over by Harvard saying that criminals are not going dark. For years now, the FBI has been warning legislators and CEOs about criminals going dark through encryption. And this is kind of related to that other topic we just talked about. And the response of companies like Apple and Google to stop it from happening. But according to a new study from Harvard Berkman Center for Internet and Society, that's not happening at all. The paper unpacks the context of the recent debate around encryption, ultimately deciding the police are at little risk of being locked out of digital communications at large. The paper doesn't deny that encryption has made some communications inaccessible, but argues these difficulties are easily made up with new channels and opportunities for evidence gathering. So this paper was the work of more than 12 authors going, basically taking a year, including some esteemed cryptographers, a former judge, a former NSA general counsel, two current NSA officials were consulted. but were unable to sign the final draft due to agency restrictions on public statements. But the authors run down four main factors that keep these new areas from going dark without state intervention. First, they argue that end-to-end encryption is incompatible with the data collection needed to make money from online services like Gmail and Facebook. They also argue that the modern web is too fragmented for comprehensive encryption to exist at a broad scale. Even if content encryption became widespread, it wouldn't protect metadata, the so-called front-of-the-envelope information that can't be encrypted and provides crucial information to investigators looking to map criminal networks. Finally, the authors point to network sensors and the so-called Internet of Things as a persistent source of surveillance data that police can tap into in the future, a.k.a. the connected Barbie doll and our connected washing machines and refrigerators and so forth. Have any of you ever submitted a Freedom of Information Act request? I've never done so. But there's some people that do a lot. And a guy by the name of Jason Leopold, he's like the king of FOIAs. Well, a group, you remember Aaron Schwartz? We talked about Aaron Schwartz a lot. Aaron Schwartz ended up taking his own life because of an ongoing DOJ investigation, and it's a long story, but we, you know, just Google Aaron Schwartz and you'll be able to get the full story. We've talked about on the show in years past. Well, again, this is back in 2013. One of the reporters did a Freedom of Information Act from the DOJ and got just this a pile of data that's over on Swartz, swartzfiles.com. And it basically has all the documents about his case and so forth. Well, another gentleman, this Jason Leopold, requests information from the Massachusetts District Attorney, whose office was prosecuting Schwartz, and asked for documents about him with this FOIA. And they came back 3 years later and said, nothing exists. We have nothing at this District Attorney's office, even though they were U.S. Attorney's office, excuse me, in Massachusetts that was heading up the investigation. So this guy's known for suing the government a lot for FOIA. Basically, they're not giving out the information they're supposed to when they know there's stuff that exists that's been given already in the past. So DOJ's probably got themselves a lawsuit coming from this guy. Any of you use Theranos? And this is way out here, folks, so I'm just doing this as a warning. The company called Theranos, Theranos. If you have had any blood work done, specifically had blood work go to a Theranos lab in Newark or in California, you need to read this article. Theranos customers should see their doctor. That's all I'm going to say. If you've ever seen that come on a bill, you need to read this article. All right? Link will be up in the show notes. All right, this next weekend's the weekend, or this week is the best week to buy big screens. Lots of great deals at Best Buy and Walmart. So Amazon has some deals too. Some, you know, from 40 to 60, from 32-inch to 65-inch. Some great $400 off, $200 off, $800 off. So some killer deals on flat screens. If you need one, this is a weekend to get one. All right, we're going to skip this because we're out of time. Tesla's applied for a franchise dealership in Michigan. Tesla has been pretty much locked out of Michigan because of, Metro City, because of Detroit. So good article here. They're trying to get in as a dealer. We'll see how far they get on this roll. They've been locked out so far. Also, a great selfie from Curiosity, a new one, and it's pretty interactive. My nose is running here like crazy. For those of you watching the video, I apologize. I'll have that link up in the show notes. That's over in CNET. Uber did a protest today in New York City about the 15% in fare cut. So those guys are getting angry that they keep undercutting and they're losing money driving. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Also, another article talking about 16 million Americans having no wired broadband access, not even at 4 megs per second. And we've got an email from one of our listeners about that tonight. And did you guys hear about this dad who confiscated his daughter's iPhone? He was, of course, the dad was separated from mom, divorced. The daughter came for a visit, saying some bad things via text about the stepmom. Father took the phone away, wouldn't give it back to her when she went home. They were actually going to charge this guy with theft for father doing his job, trying to discipline his daughter. But some court has finally, you know, got their act together and dismissed the charges. So amazing here. A parent trying to be a parent and crazy stuff. A U.S. congresswoman was targeted for a swatting. Yeah, it was kind of, the police handled it pretty well, but Representative Catherine Clark, Democrat in Massachusetts, someone did a swatting call on her house. So, you know, you're going to got the gal that's doing the swatting legislation. Do you think she's going to slow down any now? No, she's not. She's going to go hardcore. And good luck if you're the individual that did it. Microsoft has done some testing. They want to put data centers at the bottom of the ocean. They've actually done some testing on this already. And, you know, data centers are hot. So Microsoft looking for ways to keep data centers cool. It used to be that competition bikers doped themselves, but now it's dope bicycles. So I guess some guy got caught having a hidden motor inside his competition bike. 19-year-old Belgian star, Femke van den Drischke, I can't even pronounce his name. Basically, he's been accused of technical fraud. He's had some sort of a motor inside his bike to help him give a competitive edge. Sad. And finally, last thing tonight, are you an SR-71 fan? Well, there's jewelry now being made from an actual SR-71 that's available for sale. If you want a piece of an SR-71, you can buy some jewelry. It's going to cost you, but it is available. All right, so let me go ahead and get into the show notes here. We're way, way, way long tonight. And let me click on the right link here. Yeah, give this just a second to load. Let's see here. The last show was on the January 28th. So anything after the 28th. So I got an email from Jeff. I should have covered this in the beginning here. Google Fire may toss in phone service with its internet and TV packages. So if you're lucky enough to live in an area that has Google Fiber, you might be able to get a triple play with them with internet and TV. Thanks, Jeff, for sending that over. Also, I got an email here from John. He said, love the podcast, especially the diabetes section. Thanks for that. Got an email from Charles, and this is Charles, a long, long-time listener of the show. Thanks, Charles, for being part of the Ohana here for many, many years. I was trying to figure out how far back it was, but he's been here a long time. But he says, hey, Todd, it's been a while since I've written you. A segment that really hits home for me was the broadband speed issue. Now I'm at the end of the strung out in the piney woods. So he's basically out in the boonies. He says, 3 megabits down is the best I can get. This means it was too painful to watch your CES coverage with the buffering every few seconds. YouTube and some Amazon Prime videos do well, but most others just are not worth watching. The infrastructure upgrades seem to be constantly behind the tech. That means by the time I get an upgrade, everyone else is a step ahead. The result is that I still cannot get video that most folks in the city take for granted. Like you, I think it's disgraceful that the U.S. broadband speeds are so far behind the rest of the developed world. The people I talk to here in the sticks say they would pay for faster internet if it were available. Perhaps the ROI is just too low in sparsely populated areas. It surprises me that this market is being ignored. I'm still enjoying the show after all these years. Keep up the good work, Charles. Charles, what I would do, maybe it's time to take things into your own hands. If you've got a little bit of a coalition of a few neighbors around that are relatively close to you, maybe you guys could set up some sort of a wireless thing. Maybe you guys could do that. That would be an idea. Find somewhere that's got high speed and set up some point-to-point wireless, put a couple of towers up. We talked about doing that with my mom. But we basically figured out we couldn't get a tower high enough to get over the tree line. Our homestead was too low of an area. But there may be some options there for you with some of this. You know, you can spend some money, but maybe it's a way to get high-speed internet. Got an email from Chase, another longtime listener of the show. He said, hey, Todd, after your last show, I thought I'd just fill you in on the solar debacle taking place here in Las Vegas. Our Public Utilities Commission did the same thing as Hawaii. They sided with Nevada Energy, Nevada's only power company, to raise the net metering rates for solar customers, as everyone predicted they would. The difference between us and Hawaii, though, is our commission voted to not grandfather in existing solar customers, voiding everyone's existing contracts with the companies like Solar Silly, Sunrun. He says this is an egregious overreach, if you ask me. Ultimately, when you do the math, the way they structured it, Nevada solar customers will eventually pay more than those without solar. Add insult to injury because of this, it's affecting the property value of homes with solar panels. People aren't going to want to buy a home that's got to cost more. It's going to cost them more for electricity, and our housing market is already on shaky ground as it stands. I understand that. The PUC's decision has forced Solar City and Sunrun, the two biggest solar retailers here, to pretty much close down. They've laid off most of their workforce and are being accused by our governor of bullying tactics. He says, but wait, there's more. A close friend of mine who's worked for Solar City was telling me about how all the strip resorts are trying to go to solar, and Nevada Energy is fighting them on that. My friend left Solar City just before the beep hit the fan and went to work for a server company called Switch. They're likely to be embroiled in a $2 million lawsuit with a power company because they want to build a solar farm and completely disconnect from the grid, which is illegal here. They're willing to court and pay these fines if it means they don't have to be on Nevada Energy's grid. Meanwhile, NVNG themselves are building solar farms, which will generate power at a cost of about 3 cents a kilowatt. Then they're going to resell that power to us for 18 cents. There's a class action lawsuit in works already over this whole situation. That, coupled with increasing pressure from the Nevada Consumer Protection Agency, has our PUC reconsidering their rate change, but only for existing customers. If they decide to go back on their decision, those folks will be grandfathered in. Any new customers will have the new outrageous rates. Chase. Chase, I'm going to tell you, you need to start dialing your congressman, dialing your senator, dialing your state local representative, and raising all kinds of noise. The greasy wheel gets the noise, the squeaky wheel gets greased. This is the only way we're going to stop these energy companies from basically stopping solar from being advanced. It's killed the market here in Hawaii too. Again, what I put on my roof a year ago, 36 panels, and then with the new PUC rules, I'd have to put 54 on to be at $0. Just incredible, incredibly bad. So we went way long here on the show again tonight. Hope you guys don't mind. I've just found good stuff. Obviously the rant at the beginning of the show, but I want to thank everyone for their emails. Chase, Charles, Jeff, all of you, thanks. Thank you so much for, and John, thank you so much for your kind emails. I definitely appreciate them coming in. If you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. If you want to become an insider, if you're getting value out of the show, geeknewscentral.com/insider. I'll be back here with another show on Thursday. For those of you that hung out on Blab, I appreciate that you did. I'll hang out a little bit post-show with you guys. Those on Facebook and live stream, it's been fun too. So I want to say goodbye to everyone else. Thanks for being here. Again, stay subscribed. Tell your friends about all of our GoDaddy codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.